Chin Chin, it's Cocktail Corner, brought to you by Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum.
And welcome everybody.
Tricked ya.
Totally tricked ya.
Sailor Jerry.
We were like, what, do we do like a no-name one or do we? We might as well just shout out Sailor Jerry one more time. It felt right.
We should always shout out Sailor Jerry, but today's just about some total shameless promotion of my whiskey thing that's coming up next week at the Jefferson. So we thought we'd twist it up and change it up from some beautiful spiced rum to some single malt whiskey all the way from Scotland.
Is the Jefferson the biggest whiskey bar in Auckland City?
Yeah, it's the biggest in Auckland. There's actually a weird...
Where is it?
On Union Street, just in the middle of town there.
Okay.
But there's a weird little Indian restaurant in Napier that has over 800 whiskeys.
Shame out.
Just strangely. Yeah.
Whoa, yeah. Man. Sounds like they've probably got a few leather-bound books.
Funny thing, I was down in Napier with Steve Gunn a couple of weeks ago. Went to a record store down there, and it was huge. I was like, there's not enough people in town to be buying off this guy.
Sick.
But yeah, this is crazy. Napier, eh?
What was the record store called, John?
I can't remember.
Somebody let us know the name of that record store in Napier that John's talking about.
Okay, back to the whiskey.
Well, like, so the reason why we're twisting it up is... when I was sort of started on this whole spirits journey thing, when I was at uni, I wish that someone sort of gave me the ones and twos of whiskey and just sort of told me what it was all about, almost like a real throwback to uni days of doing a 101. Mm-hmm. So I thought that I'd take you through the absolute basics so that anyone out there who's listening can sort of add to a conversation and say, well, this guy Tom, who's the brand ambassador for Glenfiddich, he told me this. So I thought I'd run you through a few things. And the first thing about whiskey is knowing the difference between a blend and a single malt, right? Mm-hmm. And it's real easy. It's all in the name. So single malt literally means one distillery, and the malt is just malted barley. So you can use different barrels and you can mix them together, but if it's all distilled under one roof and it's all just malted barley, that is a single malt. A blend is lots of different distilleries and mixed together with malt and cereals and all different kind of grains thrown in.
Excuse me, cereals?
Like, you know,
Nutrigrain.
Barley, like what we see grown in farms. But throwing it back to like a musical reference, the way to look at it is like a single malt is like a guitar solo. Mm-hmm. So you can pick out those sounds or pick out those, in terms of whiskey, those flavors that you really enjoy. Whereas a blend is like an orchestra with all of those instruments playing in unison. So we don't really look at one being superior to the other. They're just different.
Agreed.
Yeah, and so that's the basics of the difference between a blend and a single malt. But then we kind of look at the way that whiskey picks up its flavor. And when it comes off the still, it's literally just a clear spirit, like sort of like a gin or a vodka. And we pick up most of the flavor, they say up to 60% of the flavor from the oak barrels. Mm. And this whiskey...
That's the time spent, basically.
Does whiskey always have to be in an oak barrel?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it has to be. It has to be an oak. So,
Or else
it doesn't count towards the aging process. It can add flavor to a whiskey if you use it in a pine, but there's a few laws that we absolutely have to follow.
Why don't we do this to like gin and vodka and stuff?
Well, we're kind of starting to do it with gin. You have like barrel-aged gins and saffron gins and stuff where they're picking up flavors.
Right.
Like they kind of talk of gin being in a real renaissance at the moment. It's real vague, right?
Renaissance.
I just coined that. It's amazing.
Reconnaissance.
No, we're in the middle of a really lovely reconnaissance. Right?
But I have bought in a few different whiskies that will help us sort of talk at, and
can we just say a few really cute little glasses, little tulip glasses?
Yeah, they're called Spadram glasses.
That was my second. I was gonna.
But basically, for all the listeners out there. As Big Hungry said, they're tulip shaped, so they funnel the bouquet. That's one of the reasons why distillers don't love it when you add Coke to your whiskey, because it totally changes the flavor and removes any of the bouquet that you pick up from the whiskey. But this first one that we have in front of here, and I'll just put it up to the mic so you can hear the cork pop.
There we go.
I don't know if you could pick that up, listeners, but that was...
Listeners, well tuned to a cork pop here at Cocktail Corner. It's definitely a... regular. John likes to really.
I do. I love it.
He likes to pop a cork. We've got. I can see already. We've got three more coming as well. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of a rate your pop, and I guess the pop would make a difference depending on how much liquid you got in the bottle.
So. Well, this one's quite empty, so because we had a few earlier.
The Fiddick has been leaned into. So
yeah, but we'll talk about barrels because that's a real critical thing in terms of whiskey as well.
Definitely.
And
Donkey Kong.
This Glenfiddich 12 that we just popped. It spends its first 12 years of its life in bourbon barrels.
This is the crazy part that is kind of hard to get your head around. The wait time.
Yeah, man. That's, so it's always a minimum. Like it's always a minimum.
Even if you're like, okay, I just want to start like making whiskey. It's like no one's going to care about any of your whiskey until 12 years down the track.
Yeah, for this whiskey, so one of the laws of single malt or one of the laws of whiskey in general actually is it has to spend a minimum, no matter what, even if it's a non-age statement, of 3 years in an oak barrel. So it's just like sitting there picking up those flavors. Barrels are like lungs and they sort of contract and expand and pick up those flavors of the wood or what was in there previous. So this Glenfiddich 12-year-old, which is the largest selling single malt of all time, so it's a real good one for presents if you're looking for Christmas or Father's Day. You know you're pretty safe with that one, but it spends 12 years in bourbon barrels picking up honey and vanilla.
I'm curious about like what if there's a leak in the barrel, how do they go about fixing the leak?
We got a cooperage, so our coopers tend to the barrels. And we've got about 3.5 million barrels, varying from 200 litres right up to a 700 litre barrel.
Oh.
So it's their job. They're like,
but you want a small barrel, really, don't you, to get well, depending on how grunty of flavour you want trying to get into the...
Yeah, man, definitely. But it's all about sort of looking for characteristics.
Surface area is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So in hotter weather, the barrel will expand, so therefore more surface area for the liquid to be in contact with, like rums and stuff. That's why rums are darker than a lot of whiskies. In colder climates like Scotland, which has pretty shitty weather.
Apparently we didn't coin Genaissance, sorry guys. Miss Wood Gin has been using that for a couple of years, full stop.
I love these listeners, they like sort of just hit you up.
These are listeners, man.
They're very onto it. Well done.
Let's go for it.
Hello, BFM.
Jay, I had a thought. Could you use oak chips instead of a barrel to make the process go that much quicker? I know it wouldn't count as an aged whiskey, but in terms of...
And then you strain the whiskey?
That's good, man. Yeah, so there's interesting... ways of adding flavor to whiskey outside of what we'd normally deem like just like this Glenfiddich 12 where it sits in there, right? You see more of that wood chip stuff going down in beers, so they want to pick up those bourbon or those whiskey or those sherry style flavors and they'll chip the barrel to put it into their beer so they
super
can pick
front
it up
foot and
flavors
obvious.
That way. Yeah. For us within Scotch, we have to follow the regulations and we can't chip the barrels and put it in there. That's not going to be called a whiskey.
You can't come that in can't, here with those they, shoes and yeah, that haircut and that, just that, start
that's
making
a good
new
idea.
Fandangled whiskey with you cruising around with your
do
pants
with
on
beer,
talking
bro.
All sorts of shit.
Do
you can't
beer.
Do that. You know
that. Do it with beer, but we can't do it with our whiskey to actually be called a whiskey.
It's just too much tradition to be messing with, it sounds like, caller.
Yeah, but in saying that, we are going to do, and the next whiskey we're going to try is an experimental style whiskey. So we still.
What happens if you do it? Do you get this, like, some kind of whiskey overlord come around and just.
Yeah, wraps you on the knuckles.
How does it work?
I think that's one of the things about.
John wants
our
to see
whole...
a whiskey overlord.
No, I was just thinking the whiskey warlock.
Yeah,
actually. Oh, yeah, alliterated. Alliterated.
Yeah, definitely always go for alliteration. But one of the things about our category is we have these strict laws that we all want to abide by. It's not like we're trying to look for like loopholes around it because that's basically our category and that's what we stake our name as, is being that. So for whiskey, we talk about that age statement just quickly again. It's that 12 years in that oak barrel. So if we had like 100 liters of whiskey that was 50 years old and we put a teaspoon, just a teaspoon of 12-year-old whiskey into that, that whiskey would automatically become a 12-year-old whiskey.
That's rank. Oh, that's rank. Cheaper. That's kind of like how much meat makes a meat patty kind of thing.
but it's we want that there for...
Hey, caller, are you all right there? Do you need a glass or something?
Yeah.
No,
you're right?
I'm
okay, sweet. No, you're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you get answered? You like quenched of your question answered?
So it sounds like you're going for like a regulatory kind of thing to be a Scotch whiskey, but have you ever thought of creating... as you said, a whiskey overlord or an emperor whiskey.
I'm fading it down. Yeah. You're sliding down, mate. Everyone's thinking of making that immediately, obviously.
I like it. So I wasn't quite sure I heard it, but I...
Is there a whiskey video game? I think is what we're asking.
Outside of those parameters. Because they're trying to do scientific experiments where they make a flavor of a 12-year-old whiskey in a laboratory, and they don't actually age it in there at all for 12 years, but they have those same flavor molecules.
Never mind about cancer.
They can do that, but it's never going to be a 12-year-old whiskey. So that's the whole thing.
Right.
As someone who enjoys what you get when you pick up a 12-year-old whiskey or a 15-year-old whiskey or a 20-year-old whiskey. Or we just sold a 50-year-old whiskey, which retails for $65,000 a bottle.
50 years
for
old.
For 700 mils of whiskey.
Oh, my God.
The most expensive whiskey just sold a couple of weeks ago for $1.1 million American dollars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. And it had like a twin bottle, but there was an earthquake, and they lost it in an earthquake.
That's the great thing about whiskey, eh? Like the bottles get drunken, and then they get more expensive. Hey, thanks, caller. I'll just tuck you away, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Shall we jump onto this next? So this is an IPA experiment.
Yeah, so that caller kind of like perfectly... Thanks, caller. He segued us perfectly into this next whiskey. And Glenfiddich, our distillery, is traditional, but we want to have fun and we want to make modern-day whiskey. So as you said, Johnny, this is an IPA-finished whiskey. So we get a beer and we put it in a old Glenfiddich barrel and we age it in there for 6 months, and then once that oak picks up the flavor of the beer, get that beer out of there, and we chuck our whiskey in there and leave it for a similar amount of time, so it picks up those dry, hoppy, citrusy style flavor within the whiskey. It's not trying to be an over hoppy beer. We're a distillery. We're true to Glenfiddich flavors, which is like orchard fruits and florally and fruitiness, but it's interesting to try, and these experimental whiskeys all come with... Oh, Jesus Christ, that was a massive pour. You can have that one, baby.
There you go, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, cheers, thanks. Yeah, cool. That's not actually the glass I gave you, but... Hey, also, can we get another pop of that? Because I like the size of that cork, eh?
Oh, yeah, okay. So the next one will pop much better, but here we go.
Yeah, good.
So, yeah, as I was sort of saying, we teamed up with a brewery here, and we got them to make a really citrusy, really hoppy beer.
Mine kind of looks like a glass of L&P.
Yeah,
like flat, but...
Yeah, but in terms of the colour, are you saying? Or
it's more amount.
The amount, yeah, that was a heavy pour.
So the Glenfiddich 12,
yes,
single malt Scotch whiskey.
Yeah.
Really smooth, really easy to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Not like as smooth as that one that we just had those.
Yeah.
This one has got... packing way more flavor.
You reckon?
So yeah, this is big time.
We can talk about flavor a little bit. That's like, we didn't even mention that. We have this green bottle, which is really iconic, and it's in a round shaped bottle, which
the
is just a combination
of
triangular round.
You're kind of giving a little head nod there.
So with this 12-year-old that we just drunk, because it's in that green bottle, it's really easy for the callers out there, if they're looking for flavors, just remember it as a green apple.
Right on.
Because that's what we're all about. We're all about orchard fruit style flavors. This one that we have in front of us now, which is the first of the experimental series, which is all about pushing whiskey forward, having some fun, making a modern day whiskey and exciting people that already love whiskey.
I like the sound of it.
Is pairing up and creating whiskeys through collaboration.
I think maybe this brown bottle one, this IPA beer whiskey situation, I might take a few sips to figure out what's going on here.
All right, so what you're going to be looking for in terms of the flavor of that one, again, is that floral fruitiness, that Speyside whiskies, which is the region that Glenfiddich sits within. And you're also going to pick up some of the flavors that you associate with an IPA. Literally, one of the most basic descriptions of whiskey, I'm totally oversimplifying it, is we make a beer, we distill that beer in copper stills, and then we age that distilled liquid in oak barrels.
Right,
that's
right.
Man. That's it. So
it's pretty moonshine until the barrel.
Exactly.
The IPA one, I don't know what the age is like on it, but it does taste way younger. And I know it says experimental on the bottle, but it does just have that sort of funky, like someone is sort of work in progress kind of thing.
What are these syringes and water for, by the way? Do we know what these... Can you explain what these... There's a couple of syringes dauntingly sitting there. It looks like a massive cup of like liquid whatever sitting there. And I want to know what's going on.
For the listeners out there, we have these little pipettes sitting in a glass of water, kind of like a laboratory pipette almost.
Okay,
and it's just for adding water to your whiskey. So people often think the only way to drink whiskey is to drink it neat, because that's the way my granddad did, or
we're adding a little drop with
yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. So
I know
you drop away.
This is why I ask questions. I don't know what the rules are.
Hang on. This bottle actually says on the back, it says experiment.
British. What's the name of this thing again, by the way?
I don't know. Over ice.
Yeah.
I think a drop of ice would have.
So what adding water does, when we think of dilution, when we add water to something, right? That's just the natural thought, like,
I feel like
taking away
room.
Flavor.
I feel like it
but,
adds room.
But what happens is it's called cracking the whiskey or opening it up. So all we're doing when we add water or just a couple of drops to a whiskey
a
is we're dropping
on
the ABV. Mm-hmm. So when you taste whiskey neat, and you're never going to have a whiskey less than 40%. That's one of the rules of whiskey. When we add water, it's going to drop that ABV and release those naturally occurring oils that we get from bourbon barrels or sherry barrels or French oak or American. One thing that's also interesting.
Right,
yeah, it really does.
Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah,
makes it like a big old mouth situation.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, with this one, I mean, I would probably definitely enjoy whiskey neat.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in this case, because this is a bit more funky and there's a lot more going on with a couple of drops of water in there.
Yeah.
You can enjoy.
Well, I think one of the great things about whiskey is there's no one right way to drink it.
Yep.
It's just about drinking it to get the most enjoyment out of it. Don't let anyone tell you how you should drink or enjoy your whiskey, man. You know, like, we don't need to be pretentious.
Can of vanilla Coke and some Glenfiddich 12.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that to your Glenfiddich 30-year-old, but don't you do that to mine, no.
This might take me a little while.
All right, so this next one, I got another glass for you, big hungry. You're good, bro.
Oh.
We should have a good pop here, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully. Anyways.
Oh my god,
that went all over me as well.
Yeah, you are getting in trouble if you drive home now.
Yeah. Okay, so what we're doing a little change up from Glenfiddich. We're leaving the larger selling single malt alone.
Super golden.
And we're going to one called the Balvenie, which is Scotland's most handcrafted single malt.
Explain that brag.
Yeah, so we're not handcrafted because we're small. We're handcrafted because we do things the old-fashioned way.
Okay.
So you think of a distillery as literally just making whiskey,
mm-hmm.
but we're also farmers, bro. So we grow a percentage of our barley on our farm ourselves. Then from the field where we grow it, it goes straight to our malting floor, where we're turning those naturally occurring starches into sugars, which we need for distillation. And the way you malt whiskey, it's not like roasting coffee, which most people think of.
Right.
It's literally laying it in water for 48 hours, so steeping the barley.
Whoa.
So that it becomes fat and swollen. Then we lay it out in a big malting floor, and we have to turn that barley by hand every 5 hours for 4 days. And it's basically like doing that J1 experiment. When you get a seed, you wet that cotton wool, you put it in a jar, you put it on the windowsill.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing, you know? That's what we're doing. We're trying to get it to grow, to germinate, to trick it into thinking it's springtime.
So this Balvenie is kind of like extrapolating the process, or really getting into the process.
So it's just stripping everything back to the raw craft.
Sweet.
Like if one of our distillery workers who came back to work, who used to work for us 100 years ago, that'd still be that same process.
I dig that. That's good. I mean, especially in the whiskey realm, because it's all about tradition, right?
I tell you what,
like you say, like, there's rules to the 12 and stuff. This one's 14, though, I see.
Yeah.
Couple more years.
Cool thing about Balvenie, right? So we talk about rare craft, and this is probably the main one. There's a guy called David Stewart, who's our malt master. You were kind of talking about, like, Overlord's whiskey.
Yeah.
The proper name for the head of the distillery is a malt master.
This is creamy, this one, by the way.
His name is on every bottle, his signature. And David Stewart is ours, right?
Okay.
He's in his mid-80s. He's worked for us for 56 years, so he's the longest serving malt master of all time. he's the most awarded malt master of all time as well. So he's won World Distiller of the Year 6 times, which is unprecedented.
Wow.
And last year he got an MBE from the Queen for services to single malts, which is a step down from a knighthood. So he kind of knows his shit, right?
It's powerful.
And as you said, we have the 14-year-old here, which is it's also called the Caribbean cask. So this is a rum finished whiskey.
Yeah, this is.
So if you love,
this is a really, really good vibe. This one.
Yeah, man. Yeah, this is a big whiskey.
I don't have the right words.
I can tell
it's
you.
Quite,
you guys
see
anybody with the thesaurus hanging around or something?
Definitely quite caramel.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, you're good. Johnny's good. So what you'll be picking up with these flavors, and if you like these...
Oh, stop copying my notes. I'm like covering my
creams, caramels, butterscotches, vanillas, hokey pokey style flavors. If you like any of that, then there's odds on, and you like whiskey that you'll really enjoy this whiskey.
I was going to say it tastes quite sunsety.
So
that doesn't...
Sunsety.
Very emotive. To sunset.
Yeah, very emotive, but not so descriptive in terms of whiskey, but I love it. Whiskey's like great because there's no wrong or right answer. You can say whatever you're right, and you're like 100%. Some people say mince pies to me, I'm like,
you're shit faced at that 100%. Point. You've had too much whiskey,
bang on. You know, like, there's no right or wrong. Yeah. But anyways, this one spends 14 years in bourbon barrels. And then we get some rums sent over from the Caribbean. We mix them together so we can pick up all those flavors, which I just described, like the chocolates, the creams, the butterscotches.
Mm. The sunsets.
Yeah, the sunset flavors, exactly.
The Caribbean sunset.
Yeah, we get some Malibu in there, chuck it in there. No, we don't. But anyways, we get those three rums. We age it for 6 months in old Balvenie barrels, remove it, like that process with the beer, but with rum, and then we chuck that 14-year-old whiskey in there. So that's the way we pick up rums, which is called cask finishing, which is what Balvenie is seen as a pioneer of. Yeah, nice. So basically, there's lots of little 101 things in there, but one of the key things to know about Glenfiddich is that we're a Speyside whiskey. Within single malt, we have different...
Sorry, what side?
Speyside, S-P-E-Y side.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Spey is a river through that region, so right, it's just like on the corner of that river.
Okay.
And so within Scotland, we divide single malt regions through flavor characteristics. So
it's such a gnarly culture, eh? Like, imagine growing up and all that stuff. It's so heavy.
It's so cool. Yeah. And it's like Pandora's box. The more you learn, the more that you've got to learn as well. You realize that you've got to learn in front of you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's constantly a learning process, even for myself, who's been in the game for a long time. But Speyside Whiskey is known all about florally and fruity whiskies. Mm. We have the Lowlands, we have the Highlands, we have Campbelltown, we have Isla, which is those really peaty whiskies. Everyone wants to say, like, Isla or Island. But it's Isla. Just remember, I always think of Ja, and then I just put an I in front of it. Isla whiskey.
If I was going to... A marketing campaign would be like, there can be only one, I reckon.
You mean like the Highlander?
I didn't say that. I reckon to say it.
I don't know if anyone's got a VHS player any longer. I don't think people know what the Highlander is. But yes, whiskey.
We should probably nip away. This will be podcasted. Just go to 95bfm.com and follow your nose. Go drive with Johnny Big Hungry.
Also,
Cocktail Corners.
Also, come and see me next Wednesday at the Jefferson at 7:30. We're going to be trying some really, really experimental whiskies. Ones that are finished in ice wine barrels. And there's another one which I literally dunked the bottle into an experiment that will never, ever be created or released. Like, this is the one bottle in the world of this.
Wow.
And so I think it's like $70 and there's going to be 7 or 8 whiskeys with some food.
Sweet.
And it's at the Jefferson next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Check out Facebook for the details.
Alright, hey, thank you very much, Tom.
Yeah, man.
Well,
that's it for me. I'm done.
For the month,
it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Hopefully,
a really good time getting through the Sailor Jerry situations as well.
Maybe we'll see you again in the new year.
Yeah. Nice twist up to finish on some whiskey. But it's been a pleasure, lads, and thanks very much for having me.
Cool.
And I think I might just finish with one word here, which nibbish, and then I'm out.
Can we nibbish?
Nibbish. That was just a word that I had to say from a friend. So if I didn't get it in there now,
I did want to shout out this iPod kind of laptop situation that kind of looks like the type of thing Bear Grylls might shoot an email out off
very,
on.
Very businessy.
It's still quite a little bit rugged.
Rappel down like 30 meters and send an email.
That was Cocktail Corner. Thanks to Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum. Go to sailorjerry.com.